Let's open our Bibles to 1 Chronicles chapter 29. 1 Chronicles 29. David is passing the mantle of leadership to his son Solomon. He has accumulated all the materials necessary for building the temple, and this is his acknowledgement to the Lord for having made such abundant provisions for the construction of the temple. We'll begin reading at verse 10. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power. And I chose this passage because of that word. We're going to be looking at the subject of the power of God tonight. And David is acknowledging the Lord to be of greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee. And thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might. And in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. Who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own hand have we given thee. David's saying, Lord, we're here making a willing offering and glad to do so, but we're really not giving anything, because what we're giving you gave to us. It all belongs to you. For we are strangers before thee and sojourners, as were our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. Our days on the earth are as a shadow. Do you believe that? I was listening to an astrophysicist being interviewed on the radio the other day, and he made an interesting observation. He said, you won't meet an astrophysicist that has any patience with the squabbles that people, that nations have against one another in this world. He said, you know, the wars over oil and stuff like that. He said, astrophysicists just roll their eyes over such a thing. And he said the reason being is because we know that this globe on which we live is a speck of dust in the universe. I mean, it's just all it is. You know, we spend our whole lives looking out into the galaxies. And we know that this world is just a speck of dust. And I thought, well, you know, it's a matter of perspective, isn't it? And then I thought, same thing's true for us. We look at the temporal from an eternal perspective. And it's just a speck of time. It's just a shadow. And believers, you know, they're looking at this world from an eternal perspective. And we've got an infinite view on the temporal things of this world, and we just see them as they are, don't we? O Lord our God, verse 16, all this store that we have prepared to build thee a house for thine holy name cometh of thine own hand, and is all thine own. Lord, we brought it, but it all came from you. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart and hast pleasure in uprightness. The Lord is pleased in the faithful obedience of his children. As for me, in the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things, and now have I seen with joy thy people which are present here to offer willingly unto thee. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the heart of thy people, and prepare thine heart, their heart, unto thee. And give unto Solomon my son a perfect heart, to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, and thy statutes, and to do all these things, and to build the palace for which I have made provision. David and Solomon picture Christ. David was a man of war that made the provisions for the building of the tabernacle possible. Solomon is a picture of the man of peace, who the Lord Jesus Christ is now, our Prince of Peace, and who in the power of the Holy Spirit took that which was provided by David and is now building his church. So we're right there. And he did it all, didn't he? He did it all. Let's pray together. Our merciful Heavenly Father, we're thankful that you've not left us to our own imagination, that you've breathed your word and given us your spirit and caused us, Lord, to be turned to see thy shining face and to be saved. We ask, Lord, that you'd be pleased to do that for us again tonight. We ask you'd give us understanding. We ask that you'd increase our faith, that you would deepen our desire for your glory, and cause us, Lord, to find in the Lord Jesus Christ our complete rest and full salvation. We ask it in his name. Amen. Titled this message, Oh, to Know the Power of God. Oh, to know the power of God. Scripture speaks a lot about the power of God. And we'll be looking at several verses that I trust will be used of the Spirit of God to cause us to say, oh, to know the power of God. Lord, show me thy power. Just because works can never be a means to salvation. We're not saved by our works. We can't merit God's favor by our works. Does not mean that believers aren't concerned with, and yes, even consumed with, a desire to obey the Lord. Scripture says to obey is better than sacrifice. The Lord tells us that it is He who works in us, causing us to have a desire, to will, and to do of His good pleasure. And you know that passage over there in Ephesians chapter 2 where the scripture says, For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. And then what's verse 10 say? But we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has ordained that we should walk in them. James makes that clear, doesn't he? He says, faith without works is dead. The scriptures are clear. I know that there are those who would accuse me now of putting men under the law, but that's not my desire, and I don't think that it will do that for God's people. I'm just affirming the fact that though we're saved by grace, the Lord puts into our hearts a desire to obey Him. To obey God out of love is not the same as seeking His merit or His salvation through our obedience. Secondly, just because our faith is not the effectual cause of our salvation, God does not reward us with salvation because we made a decision to believe. We know that. The faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ is the cause of our salvation. Yet, there's no salvation apart from faith. It's impossible to please God without faith. And the Lord nowhere in the Scriptures tells us just to sit and wait. He tells us to believe. The Philippian jailer asked the Lord, asked the apostles, asked Paul, what must I do to be saved? Paul didn't say, nothing you can do, just go home, wait till God zaps you from heaven. No, he didn't say that at all, did he? He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy household. And when that Ethiopian eunuch asked Philip, what doth hinder me to be baptized? Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, they may. So this matter of faith, I've talked to people who said, well, now you're making faith the cause of salvation. No, I'm not. I'm saying what the Scripture says. I'm saying what the Scripture says. Our faith is not the cause of our salvation. But as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And there's no salvation apart from believing. There's no salvation apart from faith. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Come. When are we going to be saved? When the Lord turns us. When He turns us. And He's commanded us to look and to come, hasn't He? And here's the truth is, When you come, you'll discover in coming that it was the Lord that made you come. It's just the way it works. Just because salvation from beginning to end is a work of God's free and sovereign grace, no question about it. God elected a people before the foundations of the world. The Lord Jesus Christ is that Lamb that was slain before the foundations of the world. His sacrifice and His blood was always applied to God's people. What the Lord Jesus Christ did in His life here in this world was to accomplish a perfect righteousness and satisfy divine justice. He sends His Spirit to make us willing in the day of His power and to keep us. Our salvation's all of God, isn't it? It's all of God. You know, there are those who will conclude from that there's no need to preach the gospel. No need to preach the gospel. God's elect are going to believe. They don't have to hear the gospel to believe. Don't go there. Hey, the Lord uses the means of preaching, doesn't He? He uses the means of hearing His word in order for us to believe. We don't deny the necessity of gospel preaching for the salvation of God's people. And we don't deny the necessity of faith for salvation. And we don't deny the necessity of works for the believer to live his life to the glory of God and in obedience to the Lord. We don't deny those things. We don't emphasize the sovereignty of God to the exclusion of what the Scriptures clearly teach. And some people would say, well, that's a contradiction. No, it's not. It's not a contradiction. I don't have to reconcile it. We just have to believe it, don't we? The Scripture teaches what I just said. Now, those things having been put in their proper order, it is true that feelings come and feelings go and feelings are deceiving. As the hymn writer wrote, my warrant is the word of God. None else is worth believing. Feelings can be deceiving, can't they? If we depend simply on our feelings, we will err on the side of emotionalism. And yet, we cannot deny the fact that the power of God is an experience that's felt in the soul. It's an experience, yes, that must always be subject to the truth. Whatever experiences we have to be, they have to be measured and put under the spotlight of the truth. Otherwise, they're just that. They're just emotionalism. The subjective always has to be made subject to the objective. And yet the gospel is both objective and subjective. The gospel is based on the truth that God has declared in His Word, and it's very subjective in terms of our experience. When the Lord brings us to believe it, there's an experience that we have. And that experience ought not to be denied. It ought not to be put aside. We ought not to deny our emotions, our feelings, our experiences. These things are very much a part of the gospel. And this is what the power of God is about. Otherwise, we fall prey to what Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3 when he said they have a form of godliness. They go through all the motions. They've even got the doctrine. But they deny the power thereof. Now we can understand that as men denying the accomplished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the power of God. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. But it's also a reference to the experience that the believer has when the Lord is pleased to make Himself known to our souls and to our hearts. We're not called to live a cold, static, unfeeling experience in our faith. This is a relationship. We can't put it in. I'm not going to try to explain the power of God to you. I'm not going to try to define it. You can't put it into words any more than you can define love. How are you going to define love? Well, 1 Corinthians 13 puts some words to it, but you understand the point. It's experiential, isn't it? You don't know anything about love until you've been in love. You don't know anything about the power of God until you've experienced the power of God. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us, which are saved, it is the power of God. What is the power of God? Well, as I said, there's no way it can be put into words. My hope is that the Lord would not withhold it from us. The verse in Habakkuk chapter 3 that speaks of, we won't turn there right now, I'll just read it to you, but Habakkuk chapter 3 speaks, the first few verses in that chapter speak of the coming of the Messiah, and then it says, His brightness was as the light, and bright beams came from His side, and there was a hiding of His power. A hiding of His power. Lord, don't hide Your power from me. Don't hide Your face from me. Don't keep me from experiencing Your grace in my heart. Don't let me just give some sort of assent to doctrinal truths without having the experience of the Lord Jesus Christ in my heart. That's where the power of the gospel is. It is a divine work of grace in the soul. It can't be described by words. We can't define it or explain it so that we could say, okay, now I understand. No, it has to be experienced. It has to be experienced. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul said, "For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power." It's not just in word. It's not just the declaration of propositional truths. It's an experience with God. I want to know something about the power of God. I want you to know something about the power of God. I want this gospel to be more than just head knowledge for us. If we look at these verses, and we've already quoted a few, that talk about the power of God, as I said, my hope for us tonight is that the Lord will put in our hearts a desire to experience His power. That's it. I'm not going to try to tell you what His power is. I'm just going to tell you what the Scripture says about the power of God, and hope that the Lord will stir our hearts to desire His power. Lord, give me Your power. In John chapter 1, the Scripture says that the Lord Jesus Christ came unto His own, in verse 11, and His own received Him not, speaking of the Jews, but to as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Now that's more than just an intellectual understanding of who Christ is. It's a familial relationship with God Almighty. I will be their Father, and they will be my sons and daughters. It's a relationship with Him, isn't it? We err if we deny this vital truth to be able to come into His presence. To be able to say, "Abba, Father." To be able to experience His warm embrace and the lavishing of His kisses. To be able to come into His presence without fear takes an experience of God's power in the heart. To be able to bow before Him. Otherwise, we're just in cringing fear of God. To them who received, to them God gave the power to become the sons of God. I want to know something about what it means to be a child of God in power. And like our children that are here tonight, they have no fear of this place. They have no fear of their parents. They have no fear of us. They just come. They just enjoy each other's company, enjoy our company, and we enjoy theirs, don't we? But it won't be that way in your relationship with God or in my relationship with God unless the Lord gives us power to become the sons of God, to be able to relate to Him as Abba Father. Daddy, that's what that means. To know something of His pity toward us. As a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. To have something of the power of God in my experience, in my relationship with God, so that I can experience His pity towards me. And so that I can have confidence in His protection and in His provision for me. You have to have a relationship with God as your Father to enjoy that, don't you? The gospel has to come in power. It has to come in power. faith is not just some sort of intellectual assent where we agree to doctrinal truths. We have to believe from the heart. Turn to me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Lord, can you say with me right now, Lord, I want to know something about this power. I want to know something about it. Increase my faith. Lord, don't let me just be a hearer of the word. Cause me to know your word in power. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Look at verse 4. And Paul says, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom." Enticing words of man's wisdom. Just articulating truths intellectually in such a way as to men can comprehend them and say, "Well, I got that." My preaching didn't come to you that way. "But in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." If the Spirit of God doesn't empower His Word to our hearts, it'll be nothing more than just precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. That's all it'll be. It'll just be knowledge. It'll just be information. And what I'm saying is the power of God takes the information of the gospel and inspires our hearts to it. Breathes life into it. Look at the next verse. "That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." In the power of God. And it has to be preached in the power of God. Nobody knows that better than someone who's tried to preach the gospel. I'm reminded of what Moses said in Exodus chapter 33 when they were there at the mountain and the Lord was about to direct them out into the wilderness, and Moses said, "If thy presence go not with us, carry us not up from hence." Lord, if you're not going to go with us, if your presence and your power is not going with us, don't let us leave this place. Lord, if you're not going to empower your word, don't let me just speak words that aren't blessed by your Spirit. Don't let our faith be in the wisdom of words. Let it be in the power of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5, Paul said, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only." It wasn't just a clear exclamation, an explanation of Scripture. It didn't come to you just in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. You see, that's the experiential part, isn't it? That's the experiential part. You know, we've talked about having it in your head and not having it in your heart. Well, you know, the head and the heart's the same thing, but you can understand some things intellectually. That's what he said. Our preaching did not come to you in word only, but in power and in the Holy Ghost. And what was the evidence of that? Much assurance. Much assurance. The Lord comforted my heart. He spoke peace to my heart. He caused me to believe that this gospel was for me. It became the experience of my soul when I knew something about the power of God. Now again, let me back up and reinforce my point I made a moment ago. Any experience apart from the truth is nothing more than emotionalism. And we're not advocating that. You know that. You know I'm not advocating that. But truth without an experience? That's just hard, cold doctrine, isn't it? That's all it is. Lord, give us both. Let us try our experience by the truth. But Lord, speak the truth so effectually to our hearts that it becomes our experience. Show me something about the power of God. The gospel must come with power. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 verse 4 says, where the word of the king is, there is power. Well, this is the word of the king. The king of all kings and the Lord of all lords. This is his word. Ecclesiastes, with Solomon was talking about, you know, the king of Israel, but it's where the word of the king is, there's power. There's power. God, empower your word to my heart. And Luke chapter 4, verse 32 says, they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. It was with power. It was empowered by the Spirit of God to the hearts of God's people. Where do we get this power from? Where do we get it from? Well, it comes from God, but you remember when they brought those unlearned and ignorant disciples before the Sanhedrin after the ascension of Christ, after the day of Pentecost, they were preaching in Jerusalem and turned the world upside down, and they brought these fishermen and shepherds in, these men that had not been to the proper schools. And what did they say? They took notice that they had been with Jesus. These men spoke with power. They didn't compromise the truth. They didn't compromise the gospel. They weren't intimidated by the Sanhedrin. You decide, when they were told not to preach, what did Peter say? You decide for yourself whether we should obey God or man. As for us, we have no choice but to do what God's told us to do. And they took notice that they had been with Jesus. That's where they got the power from. And that's where you and I are going to get our power from, aren't we? Being with him. Spending time with him. Coming to this place, hearing him declared and preached, having time on our own to look at his word and to spend time in, that's where the power of, that's the experiential part of our faith. That's where it comes, isn't it? Lord, show us thy power. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29, God says that he gives power to the faint. See, I usually don't know much about the power of God. I'm usually so weak and faint and so sin sick that I don't know much about the power of God. Well, that's when you get the power of God. He gives his power to the faint. The faint of heart. Lord, I don't have any power. That's it, isn't it? It's to come before the throne of grace confessing our need for power. Our need for God to make himself known to us, to shine the light of the gospel in our hearts, to cause us to experience his presence and his power. Psalm 110 says that he makes his people willing in the day of his power. Yeah, it's the only time you're going to be willing to believe the gospel. There was a time when we didn't have the power to believe. We didn't have the desire to believe. There's folks right now, they just can't believe. But in the day of his power, he makes them willing. He makes them willing to bow. He makes them willing to come. And the willingness that he gives to his children in the day of his power is not just that one-time experience of salvation, but it's a continual coming to him. The ability to obey God is only by the power of God. He works in us, causing us to willing to do his good pleasure. We don't know anything about ability apart from his power. But with his power, Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. He strengthens me with his power. That's the experience of the gospel. Oh, Lord, I want to know more about your power. I can go to school, I can read books, I can listen to articulate preaching, I can learn doctrine, but I need to know something of your power. I need for you to beat my sword into a plowshare. I need for you to take my rebellion and make me a servant. I need for you to demonstrate your power in my heart. I'm not interested in just dressing up. You know, religion is all about outward appearances, isn't it? That's not what we're talking about. I'm about God doing a work of grace in the heart, giving us power from the heart, cleaning up the inside. Turn to me to Colossians chapter 1. I'm sorry for those who will hear a message like this and think that, you're taken away from the sovereignty of God. I feel for that. There are people I'll get emails from folks that are listening right now that'll come to that conclusion. Look at verse 11 in Colossians chapter 1. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. How are you going to resist sin? How are you going to defeat the devil? How are you going to make no provisions for the flesh? How are you going to honor God? How are you going to obey him? Only by his power, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. How are you going to know the joy of the Lord? How are you going to be long suffering and patient and full of joy? Only by the power of God. This is the ministry of the Holy Spirit that the Lord spoke of when he said that when the Spirit of Christ comes, he'll cause a river of living water to flow from your heart. Look at verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Oh, he made us able by his power, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Without the power of God, we are subject to the power of darkness, aren't we? He's the only one that can deliver us from the power of darkness and translate us into the kingdom of his Son, and he does it by his power. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might." I can't define power. Can't put it into word. Can't give you a definition for it. I can tell you what the Scripture says about it. And I hope the Lord will cause each one of us to say, "Oh, I want more of that power. I want to know." Boy, would Paul say, "That I might know him. I've not yet apprehended that which has apprehended me. This one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus." He goes on to say, "Oh, that I might know him and the what? The power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering." Lord, I need for you to make this gospel and this truth and this knowledge that you've blessed me with, I need you to make it my experience. I need you to enable me to walk in the Spirit, in this power. And I can't do it if you don't give me your power. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think." He's the one that's able to do it. "Oh, Lord, I just like to be delivered from this. I just like to get that." And he does exceedingly abundantly above all that we should ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. In other words, he doesn't just bless us with the temporal thing that we're looking for, but he gives us the experience of his power to rejoice in him. strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, and all patience with long-suffering and joyfulness. That's the only way we're going to live our lives in power, is if he strengthens us. I think it was in Luke. Scripture says that with power, the unclean spirits came out. The power of God. Where the word of the king was, there was power. When Christ spoke, he spoke with power. Never a man spake like this man before. His word went out with power. We're not saved by works. But good works are what the believer longs for, desires for, hungers to obey God. We're not saved by our faith, but we have faith, don't we? And we want more of it. Lord, increase our faith. We're not saved by an experience, but a gospel that leaves us without an experience. It's not the gospel I read of. It's not the Christ I read of. It's not the one I have tasted of and want to experience more of. He does a work of grace in the heart when he makes himself known, and he gives to his people power. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we ask that you would cause us to know your power. Or don't leave us to our own devices and our own strength, our own ability. Fill our hearts with the joy of the Lord. Give us the power of God. Increase it. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Number 5 in the Soft-Act Hymnal. Let's stand together.